Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with your host, James Creviston.
Hey, everybody, it's James. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. And today I have a great guest today. She is a comedian, a writer, a podcaster from Bowling Green, Kentucky. I've never been there. I heard it's beautiful, though. She's born in Indiana, raised in Kentucky. She is the 2020 Clean Comedy Champion. She's been on Huckabee. She's done so much stuff. So we're going to talk to her today. Please welcome the very funny, the very talented June Colson. Welcome, June.
Or Junebug. Hello, hello.
Should we call you Junebug or do we call you June? Like, I don't know. I don't feel like I should call you Junebug. I feel like that's wrong.
No, of course. Like, that's my closest friends, James. I feel like we're tight like that. So yeah, you can call me Junebug. It's I think for a lot of people who aren't in Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, you know, even Alabama, maybe Mississippi, nicknames are super common. It's what a lot of us go by. My whole family, I do a whole bit about all the different nicknames in our family. But I think for other people who aren't necessarily in that culture, it's weird for them. It's weird for them to just call somebody. So you call me whatever makes you comfortable.
Well, I grew up in Texas and that those are common too. So I never went by James growing up. It was always JD, right? That was what I was always called. And then like everyone I knew was some other name that you didn't know their real name. Oftentimes you just knew whatever everyone else called them. So that was like I'm used to that, but in California, it would be really weird if someone referred to somebody by a nickname. I don't think that works out here.
yeah. So my mom recently passed away, and the guy who runs the funeral home is a real good friend of mine, graduated high school with my husband, married one of my friends. And so he was doing the obituary for my mom. And like, you don't even realize how much that is part of our family. My dad goes by Hot Dog. He's a lot of my material is about my daddy Hot Dog. And my mama went by Mo. Her name was Ava. She went by Mo. So as Chris is doing the obituary, he was like, oh, Hot Dog, I don't know that I've ever heard your name before. And we're like, oh, well, he's Richard. Well, then my little brother is Richard, but he goes by Dewey. And my sister, my mom's brother was James, but he went by Bruno. And like everybody who we were listing in the obituary had an alias. Like he was like, I can tell you in 27 years working in the funeral home business, I've never had this many people have a family member go by a random name, but it's my people. So.
That's awesome. Now let's talk about your comedy career. Like, when did you get started? How did that process happen? Kind of go tell us about that.
Yeah. So 2017 is when I started doing comedy. It really wasn't anything that was on my radar. It was truly just a moment with God in church one day. And I say, you know, he laid it on my heart that this was an adventure, a journey in a way that he could use me in ministry, and then also just, you know, to be a light and bring some laughter and joy. And little did I know, and 3 years later, a pandemic was going to hit, and it would be a time in the world where you needed, you know, as many comedians and as much laughter as we could pump into the world. So yeah, I When I was younger, I grew up in low-income housing, government housing. My dad's name is Hot Dog. I literally, I just had a really rough childhood. And so when I was younger, I used comedy as a defense mechanism. I was able to handle bullies with comedy. I was quick-witted, you know, and then I always liked to perform. I loved, I was, you know, I was doing plays when I was younger, even in elementary school. I wrote plays and they put on the plays when I was a kid. And yeah. And so, when I graduated high school, there was no money for college. And so I was always interested in radio. So found a couple local DJs to teach me how to be a DJ. I paid them basically for my education and I started in radio. So I always had kind of a performance background, but it never manifested into what it was. And so basically what God laid on my heart was that I had used comedy as a weapon and a survival technique for a long time, but now he wanted me to kind of transition into using it as a tool for him. And so I was reluctant, but I tell people, like, when God calls you to something, he will lay your path so straight and so clear. So immediately I just started getting connected to people. I didn't understand the Christian comedy industry, the clean comedy industry, but right away I had mentors and friends like Jeff Allen, which is, he's ridiculously amazing. And Shonda Pierce became a friend of mine. And I got a core group of clean comedy friends in the Christian comedy community. And it was just kind of take off from there. So, and I got to learn from some of the best of the best.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a mentor in common, Robert G. Lee, who's been a good mentor to me and been a friend of mine for a couple of years now and is just an amazing person. Gave me some of the best advice. Cause I also did, I don't know, did you do the Clean Comedy Challenge? The one that was run by Leslie? Was that the one that you did?
Yeah. Leslie Norris Townsend. So in 2019, I went and watched it because it was in Nashville and I'm in Bowling Green, but I'm kind of halfway between Louisville, Kentucky and Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville's okay. Closer for me. And so I had several friends that were doing the Clean Comedy Challenge. So 2019, I went and I saw like how people connected with each other and how much fun it was and what a fun room it was. And so I was like, okay, God, if you want me to do this, then I'll work on being ready to do it next year. Well, then 2020 hit. And actually the Clean Comedy Challenge, I think, was one of the last comedy things that happened. Wow. Before everything was just completely shut down. So it was definitely a different vibe when I did it because it was social distance. They would only let 25 people in the actual comedy club space where you were performing. Everybody had masks on. A comedian would perform. Another comedian would come up and wipe down the mic and the mic stand. Then the next one would come up. Like, it was such a weird just kind of off feeling, but I will tell you that Joby Sad and Leslie Norris Townsend and her crew, they made it, you know, they made it work with, yeah. You know, they did the best with what they had. So it was an excellent experience, but it was definitely, I think, different than most people experience with that particular competition.
Yeah, I did mine. I think it was 2016 or 2017, but I'd only been doing comedy for 6 months or so. I hadn't been doing it very long. And I did it in Pasadena at the Ice House. And I met Robert G. Lee there and he gave me advice and feedback on jokes or whatever. So it was a great learning experience. I didn't go far in it. I did okay, but it was a great learning experience and a great way to be like, oh, there's more here. There was like a lot for me to do. And that was a great team. Joby was amazing there. Leslie was amazing there. Like everyone that I ever worked with there was so awesome. So it's great. Now you've also done Huckabee, which I see a lot of comedians that I know doing Huckabee. Where is that located? Tell us the story about how that happened, because that sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. So Huckabee is in Hendersonville, Tennessee, which is about 40 minutes from my house. They film in what was Twitty City back in the day. It was Conway Twitty City. Yeah. And TBN, the TBN network came in and they just did a state-of-the-art studio for Governor Huckabee to do his show at. And so one thing that that they do is they incorporate a lot of comedy into the show. Governor Huckabee and Shonda Pierce are really close friends, and he's close to a lot of Christian comedians, but they definitely have a super tight relationship. So he has a lot of respect for clean comedians and Christian comedians. And so they give a lot of opportunities for the comedians to be on the show, but also they hire clean comics to do the warm-up for the show. So yeah, so before every show, there's a clean comedian that comes out and gets to warm up the crowd. Rick Roberts is kind of their regular person. Rick Roberts lives in Nashville, Tennessee. He's a phenomenal comedian, a great writer, a great comedy teacher. And so he's their go-to guy, but he also has a very good career. So he's on the road a lot. So all these other comedians, we're kind of in a rotation where we get to fill in the gap when he is not able to be there. And, you know, they give you great video and just there, it's just the nicest people that you could ever possibly want to work with and get to meet a lot of cool people. Like my friend Michelle Van Dusen and I, we do a podcast together, and she came in and did she got to do the warm up, and so I went and hung out with her backstage. We met Rudy Giuliani, yeah, and Terry Fader was there. Wow. And so these are just kind of the caliber of people, that the different type of people that you're gonna meet when you're backstage. So yeah, huge blessing to be as close as I am and to have the trust of the audience coordinator to hire me and keep me in the rotation to be one of their warm-ups. So yeah, super fun.
How long is warm-up? Like, how long are you warming up the crowd for? Is it just the video set that I saw, or is it like more kind of warm-up and stuff? Because I know there is varying degrees, because Robert G. Lee used to do, I don't know if he still is doing it now, but he used to do a lot of crowd work and crowd warm-up stuff. Yes. And so, but it would be hours. You said it was like 3 hours of stuff. How long are you doing it there on Huckabee?
On the Huckabee show, it kind of depends, but for the most part, it's only like 6 to 7 minutes. So it's just such a well-oiled machine. So they, you know, the crowd's coming in from the second that people show up at that studio, there are people greeting them at the door. They're smiling. Even the security, even the, you know, law enforcement are like so nice to everyone. And so typically they kind of play a video of the studio and what it's like and all of that. And then the crowd warm-up comedian comes out and you kind of just kick it off. And then the governor comes and talks to everybody. And so he's warming up the crowd too beforehand. So they get to see him. But sometimes the comedians are used multiple times on the show. So for example, for Michelle, it was kind of flipped around where they didn't do the normal video plays. They had the Zombies were there, which was a really popular 80s or really popular rock band, especially in the 80s and 70s and 80s. So they had to set the stage for them. And so rather than Michelle doing the regular setup, they recorded them singing first. And then as they broke things down, Michelle had to come out and kind of keep the audience entertained while the stage was being reset. Sometimes a comedian will do the regular warm-up. And then if they have a musician, I've been there with Cirque du Soleil, somebody was like spinning from the ceiling. So as they're breaking all that down, the comic might come back out again. But it's not quite like Robert with a, you know, when they're filming a sitcom, it is an all day thing. With the Huckabee show, it's literally filmed in about an hour and a half.
Wow.
And that so is you're,
fast.
Yeah, you're there to fill in the gaps. Yeah.
Because I've got to see like Seth Meyers filmed or whatever, and it's like 3 hours of stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though the show's only like an hour on TV, there's a lot more stuff that goes into it. They move and change and do this and hold, and it's like, so it's really interesting. That's super cool. So now you're doing more stuff. I saw you did something like a special on like Praise and Harmony. How was that? How was filming a special and doing stuff like that? And what kind of work goes into that for you?
Oh, that was really neat. So it's Praise and Harmony TV, and they put out a lot of content of like acapella Christian music, beautiful, beautiful music. And so they have a recording studio outside of Nashville. And basically it was myself, Lee Hardin, and Haas Ridgway came in, and we filmed in their actual music studio. So it was super tight. There was, the audience was only like maybe 40, 50 people, but they were just right in the room together. It, you know how sometimes like you could be in a room of 1,000 and you know, it's, you just kind of flow and you get a vibe and you get the laughs or whatever. And then sometimes you can be in a room of 40 and it's like the best crowd you've ever been around. And for myself, Haas and Lee, like afterwards, we were all like, they were awesome. Like the crowd was so much fun. So that was just a really unique set up with just one of the best crowds I've ever performed in front of. Really, it was super fun.
So that sounds awesome. That sounds like such a good like room. I love those like kind of just tight rooms where like you can feed off the energy of the crowd. Because if it's too big, right, like I've done theaters and stuff, it's just too big. Like it feels like you're not getting everything back that you want. But a tight room there. So you live out in Bowling Green. Is there a comedy club there that you perform at, or do you have to go to Tennessee? How does that work for you?
No, there's no brick and mortar comedy club. There's a woman locally who started producing shows, but it's kind of a moving room and it's a little inconsistent right now. I've met with her and super nice person. And so hopefully that'll eventually evolve into a brick and mortar location. But no, the closest comedy clubs that we have are Nashville and then Louisville, Kentucky. So I have to go an hour or an hour and a half to get to a comedy club. So for me, open mics and things like that, not necessarily like the best opportunities around me, but I have found amazing groups like where you and I have got to know each other and Robert's writing room, you know, just kind of get resourceful and find a way to work your material maybe in an unconventional way.
I like Robert's room because there's a bunch of comedians there who are working on material and there's positive feedback in the moment. Whereas if you go to open mic, you record yourself doing it or whatever, and then you leave and go, you listen to it and you go, well, I don't know. It was a good, because now it's hard to be objective at your own work. Sometimes when you're like, well, I think it was good, but maybe there needs a tweak, but I don't know what that tweak is.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In our room, we get like, hey, you know what you could add? Here's a tag for this. Yes. Maybe redo this thing. Tighten that there, whatever it is. And you get like a group of people that all know comedy that are doing the same thing. And then Robert comes in and gives you bing, 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 bing. And you go, that was great. Like I did a joke last night. That was a new joke. I literally wrote it and just had been editing it. Hadn't performed it. But I was like, oh, I'll do it in the room. And the feedback from you and Robert and everybody was great about it. I was like, okay, well, there you go. That's exactly, like, I didn't have to go wait an hour and a half at an open mic and for 5 minutes where nobody was going to listen anyways to see how it did. So it's pretty awesome. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah. You know what I love too, is that, so my friend Carrie joined us last night. She's a new comedian. I met her at the Christian Comedy Association last year. And she joined in and, you know, she's in Missouri. You're in California, right? But Robert's in California. We've got Michigan represented, Kentucky, I think Tennessee, like we're all different spots in the country. And one of the really valuable things about working with a group like that in the setting that we're in is that I may say something and it's a local, you know, I think we talked about yesterday, the monobrow and the unibrow. Well, I've never heard of monobrow before. I've used Skeeter. I got a Skeeter bite. Well, yeah. People in LA have no idea what a skeeter is. Like it's a mosquito, but I would say well, so then it's lost in translation and, you know, confusion kills comedy. Right. And so we're even, well, talking about my family and nicknames, I was writing with Robert one time in a separate group and somebody from California goes, wait a minute. Now your mom's Mo, your dad's Hot Dog, your sister's Bobby Joe, your brother's Dewey. They're just not convincing. You need to pick other names. And Robert, that's her people. Like, that's really her people, man. And they're like, oh, really? Like, she didn't make those names up, you know? So you don't know what might be confusing in a different part, you know, farther north or farther south. But when you work with a group and variety of people across the country, then sometimes you pick up on something that may have been a roadblock, that it was funny. You just didn't realize you were delivering it in a way that they didn't understand.
Yeah. I realized that I did a tour up in Alaska and I did a show and I have a joke about being fed to bears. Like when I go, like when I die, I want to like be fed to bears. And so everywhere else that joke kills. It's a great joke. Everyone loves it. Like when I did that joke in Alaska, the whole room shut down. It was just like got super quiet and weird. I was like, isn't this like the exact kind of people that would laugh at a joke at this?
Right.
But it wasn't. Yeah, but it didn't translate because it's a real thing that happens there. So it's more, it's a reality and it's not something people want to face. So I was like, oh my gosh, it was terrible that that happened. But that joke, I've done that joke in New York. I've done that joke in Texas. I've done it in California, like everywhere. Nobody cared. Alaska, the place where I really was like, this is their joke. Not at all.
Yeah. I think it was Shonda Pierce. It was telling me one time about being in some country where like, it's illegal to hunt. And she had like a, you know, maybe 4 minutes like set on hunting or her family hunting or whatever. And it was crickets. Like they were just like, okay, you know, and what she was talking about was completely like culturally wrong in that area. And she's like, I didn't realize, you know, and later somebody was like, you do understand. Yeah. Well, she did then, right? At that point she did, but she needed to understand before. So sometimes I think we'll have a great joke and it's not received because maybe there's just something we didn't know about that built a little wall between us and you know, our audience.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, have you come out to California and done shows out here in California at all? Or is it just mostly Nashville, East Coast kind of stuff?
I haven't, you know, I haven't been to California yet, mainly like Michigan, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio, Virginia, Texas, Alabama. I went to Arkansas recently, Stuttgart, nice. Arkansas, the duck hunting capital of the world. That was pretty awesome. I got to perform with a comedian named Jason Earls, got to open for Jason, which was super fun. So yeah, mainly this part of the country right now, but I'll go anywhere. I don't know how much June bug will be received in, you know, LA, but
I think probably in churches it would be good, but I think in clubs you would, I don't know that I would love to see what happens though, because I mean, LA people, why they get a bad rap, why LA audiences get a bad rap. Sometimes they are pretty open to like, oh, that's interesting, I've never heard that before type stuff. Yes. And so they probably would be okay. I don't know. I mean, they might be confused at first, but once you start to explain, and you do explain family names really well and you see your jokes, that they would probably get it and laugh and be like, oh, okay, this makes sense. But you might get like the crickets for a minute, but the moment that you like, here's the reason why, guys, then they'll like laugh. But I've never had any pushback. I had pushback when I first started comedy of being a clean comedian. Like it was taboo in LA. Yeah. Like it's more okay for me to talk about marijuana and Tinder and whatever. Yes. than it is to talk about family and being a dad and whatever. Like they were like, why aren't you clean? Why are you clean? That's stupid. Just talk about whatever you want. I'm like, this is what I want to talk about. I'm not doing it to like try to be somebody I'm not. This is who I am. Like, you know, so I think that's probably the best part is that have you felt that pushback ever when you started stand up or when you were doing stand up in the beginning? Did you get that pushback about being clean or being Christian or having any of that?
No, not necessarily. You know, I live in the buckle of the Bible belt in this area, but I mean, at the same time, clubs are clubs. And so, I definitely say, I would say that I see a lot of women who will go directions that I just won't because it's not who I am and not what God called me to be. Maybe get more club opportunities than I do, but also the opportunities that I get, they pay pretty well. And, you know, a lot of corporate gigs and churches and things like that. You know, I think it just opens more opportunities when you're a clean comedian. And even, you know, even some of the comics that I know that aren't clean and that I've worked with, they have to know how to do a clean set. You know, Nate Bergazzi, he's from Nashville, Tennessee. He's the it guy right now, right?
He's phenomenal. He's my wife's favorite.
Is he? Well, he should be. He's great. His dad, Stephen, is one of my favorites. I always say Nate's great, but his dad, Stephen, is phenomenal. Stephen actually came in and performed for my husband's retirement party at the fire department here in Bowling Green. And I'm telling you, I adore that man. But, you know, Nate, he's been, I think now he's been on Jimmy Fallon like 9 times. His last special was rated G. was rated G, and he's one of the most successful comedians in the country right now. Yeah. You know, but even like the you know, like Steven and I were talking, and he sometimes mentors other comics and stuff, and he said, you know, I'll tell a lot of those guys in Nashville, like, Nate can't go on Jimmy Fallon 9 times if all he has is 5 minutes of clean material. Like, you get on shows like that because you can do a clean set. Yep. And really know how to do a clean set. But of course, that's just who their family is. Like you said, like, yep. I'm not going to go that direction because that's not who I am. I would be posing. I'd be pretending. Yep. And, you know, and eventually, as we know, people see who you are when you're on stage, and an audience will feel out of phony really quick. So if you're trying to be something you're not, you're wasting your time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So what is your, what do you have coming up? What things do you have anything that you want to promote? You can promote your podcast too, because I know you and Michelle have a great podcast. I have not been on that podcast. I know both of you. Is a funny, I knew Michelle before I knew you, but talk about that. Talk about how that podcast came about, and give us any plug anything you want.
Yeah, for sure. excuse me. So I am on a podcast. I'm a co-host of the Laugh Support podcast. It's myself and Michelle Van Dusen. She's from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I am almost 6 foot tall when I'm in heels, and I think she's 4 foot nothing. So we are a great combination. And so, yeah, so what happened is, when I first started doing comedy, Michelle was there the first night that I ever went on stage. Wow. She helped me kind of tweak the material that I was going to do so that I could have a great first experience when I went on stage. And she immediately became my laugh support. She was my person who was there for me. So the Hot Breath Comedy Network, which is the creation of Joel Byers, who and so Joel reached out to Michelle and myself and was like, I'd like to have something clean on my platform, and I love you guys and how you mesh together. And so Michelle and I decided if we were going to do a podcast, we want it to be something that kind of meant something to us. And so what we do, because she was my laugh support, we reach out to other comedians and we kind of find out from them who's been their support along the way. We've got to interview, Jeff Allen and Taylor Mason was our first, interview this season. Coming up, we have Shanita Morris, who was known as Chocolate. We've interviewed Sylvia Traymore Morrison, who was the first female African American impressionist. Wow. Her manager was Red Fox when she was coming up. She did the roast for Muhammad Ali. She toured with Whitney Houston. So that's been a whole lot of fun. My heart's definitely into the podcast. So yeah, it's the Laugh Support podcast. And you can find that a little bit of anywhere. And then, yeah, I just have, I have some shows coming up with a lot of my friends. Myself and Lee Harden's invited me to do some of his theater shows. And I'm doing a showcase here in my hometown at my home church. So I'm going to have like 8 comics coming through. Brian Kahatsu, Mike James, Dory McLemore, Rhonda Corey, Christy Condor, Lee Harden. So yeah, I'm just trying to produce some shows, making some stuff happen where things aren't happening. And and hoping to just see more gaps fill in the calendar this year.
That's awesome. It's so funny because when you start listing names, I'm like, know them. It's so funny because it is a small community. Like, we like to think like, oh, there's so many comedians in the world. There's not really as many as we think. When you start breaking it down, you're like, oh, there's not a lot of us. And there's not a lot of us that are just clean comedians either. Right. Like, that's even smaller. You know, Brian Kahatsu has been great to me. So kind, such a good person, and like always looked out for me. So like that, anytime he does stuff, anytime I can support him, I'm like, Brian, what can I do to help you? Like, he's the best. Mike James was early in my career, also was super polite to me and nice to me. Like, Rhonda, I've been on Rhonda's show. Like, there's so many good people. And I think that's the best part about the clean comedy world is none of us are coming after each other. I feel like sometimes comedy gets competitive, especially in clubs. But in the clean comedy world, the Christian comedy world, that doesn't happen as much. It's like, okay, I know that there's only so many of us. We need to lift each other up. It becomes a lift up instead of a pull down type.
Yes. Situation. So yeah. If you don't mind me mentioning, but on that tip, I would hate not to mention this. The Christian Comedy Association has a retreat coming up outside of Indianapolis and Fishers, Indiana. That's June 5th, sixth and seventh. Brian Kahatsu and myself hosted last year. They've invited us to come back and host again this year. And basically, it's just a retreat for Christian comedians to come together, pray together, learn from each other, and connect with each other. There'll be potentially a couple open mics going on around there. Some of the comedians are putting on shows. So if anybody's interested in coming to that, they can go to the ChristianComedyAssociation.org. We have a Facebook page as well, but ChristianComedyAssociation.org, and register for that or reach out to me if you've got any questions. So it's near and dear to my heart, and it's where I met my best friends in comedy and really my best friends in life at this point. So, yeah.
I do want to come. I missed it the year. I think it was supposed to be in Texas one year. It got canceled or something like that. It was like something weird like that where I was supposed to go. And so I was like, dang it. So I didn't get to go. But now I've never been to Indiana. Maybe I need to go. So I do want to go to it at some point. So it'll be awesome. Well, thank you so much, June, for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time. You're amazing. You guys, I'm going to put all the links to June's website, to all of her stuff in the show notes. You guys can check it out. Please don't forget to like and subscribe and go check out her stand-up. Go check out her Huckabee clip. It's really good. It's so funny. The McDonald's spiel that you do is amazing. Oh, yes. And then Chick-fil-A right after that is very good. So I wouldn't be able to do that, by the way. I can't remember that much stuff. So the fact that you were knocked that out, and then you did like on command, like you were like, no, I'll do Chick-fil-A. And then, and I was like, oh my gosh, like never in them. Do you know how long I sit at the Chick-fil-A menu to be like, I know what I already want, but I'm staring at the thing for like 15 minutes. So it's like, all right, whatever.
I get it.
All right. Thank you guys so much. Thanks for watching. Please like, subscribe, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.